Who will be a witness? That's the question we've been asking in this series. And perhaps a question answered simply enough. We're all called to be witnesses of the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Perhaps the more difficult question is how? How can we most faithfully and effectively, most hopefully and creatively be a witness? This morning, perhaps an answer that will surprise you. Our text this morning comes from the 16th chapter of Acts, reading from verses 16 to 34. Listen to God's word for us today. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Roman citizens to adapt or observe." So the crowd joined in attacking them. The magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. And after they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for the lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. And let all God's people say, amen. Amen. Several years ago, while I was employed in the World Mission Office of our church's denomination, I was traveling with some colleagues to San Francisco for a local church mission conference. And one night, a few of us slipped out, made our way into the city, and went to an art house theater where they were showing a documentary entitled Amandla, A Revolution in Four-Part Harmony. It was a documentary about the freedom songs that were part of the movement to break the chains of apartheid in South Africa. How the songs that were used by black and colored South Africans were a source for them of inspiration and eventually of liberation as they finally changed the regime that had held them imprisoned in injustice and oppression for generations. It was a good reminder to us that night that music, and songs in particular, are not simply meant to entertain us, though they certainly can. But truly, the real power of songs is to uplift us, to heal us, to encourage us. It was a reminder to us gathered that evening that here in the United States, of course, we have our own sad history of apartheid, in the brutal and oppressive regime of slavery. And yet there too grew a repertoire of music from slaves who lifted up songs, songs of faith in God, yes, but more importantly, songs of lament, songs of protest, and songs of hope, including a song we'll invite you to learn if you don't know it already and sing along with us this morning. The words are simple. It simply says, "Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere." Try that with me. "Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere." Our story this morning from Acts chapter 16 takes place in two acts with several scenes. Act 1 opens with a strange scene in which there is a slave girl who has the power through a spirit of divination, of fortune telling, a power that is making her owners very wealthy. And so understandably, they're not very pleased when Paul, as an aside, in a moment that is remarkably transparent and honest in the Gospels that we rarely read, I love that line that says, "Paul, very much annoyed." Don't you wish every time you were annoyed with somebody, you could cast the spirit out of them that is annoying you? Paul, very much annoyed, cast out the spirit, releasing her from the imprisonment of that demonic presence. And yet, Paul and Silas are dragged before the courts on trumped-up charges. And then, as we know, they are beaten, stripped, locked up, not just anywhere, but in the innermost cell of the prison, and their feet put in shackles. And now, if anyone ever had an excuse to be annoyed, now was the time for Paul and Silas to be annoyed. After all, they're just doing what God had called them to do. They are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, casting out demons. And yet, having followed exactly God's call in their life, here they find themselves in the innermost cell of the prison. Why? They have plenty of reasons to ask why, but instead of singing the blues, we find them in the heart of darkness that night, throwing a Pentecostal praise party, a kind of all-night gospel karaoke session right there in the middle of the jail. And while the others who were in prison had every reason to turn to them and tell them to shut it, instead, they're listening. And I suspect that as time goes on, they're learning the words of those hymns and singing along too. And then in a moment made for a TV special, the ground below them begins to shake like a Hawaiian island. But instead of a volcano erupting, it's freedom that erupts for them that night. And instead of making the choice that I suspect I would have made to snatch freedom and to run, they recognize that the freedom we experience in Jesus Christ is not meant for ourselves alone. It is always meant to be shared. And so they wait, having been freed in that prison cell, until they can offer the good news to the jailer and his entire family. It is a profound reminder to us that just because you hold the key to someone else's cell does not make you free. For in this story, the ones who appear to be imprisoned because of their faith are in fact the ones who are liberated, and the ones who appear to be free because of their lack of faith appear to be the ones who are imprisoned. "Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere." Several years ago, there was a powerful film called The Shawshank Redemption. that featured two actors, Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins, playing the characters Red and Andy, respectively. The film is primarily about their experience being imprisoned at the Shawshank Penitentiary, and especially the story of the main character, Andy, played by Tim Robbins. The attempt of the prison and the guards in particular to beat out of him his spirit and yet his incredible resilience in the force of impossible odds. One day, Andy is charged with tending to the prison library. And as he's cleaning up, he discovers a box of albums. Now, if you're a millennial, these are circular discs made of vinyl. He puts one on the record player and begins to play an Italian opera. And then, knowing full well the punishment that he will receive for doing so, he puts the music out over the loudspeakers of the entire prison yard. And the scene pans out to show prisoners all over, stopping and staring up into the air. And then, over the top of it, we hear Morgan Freeman's voice say, "I have no idea to this day what those two Italian ladies were singing about. The truth is, I don't want to know. Some things are best left unsaid. I'd like to think they were singing about something so beautiful it can't be expressed in words, and it makes your heart ache because of it. I tell you, those voices soared higher and farther than anybody in this gray place dares to dream. It was like some beautiful bird flapped into our drab little cage and made those walls dissolve away. And for the briefest of moments, every man in Shawshank was free." Of course, Andy does get solitary confinement for his act of protest. Months later, after he is released, he and Red are sitting at a table in the cafeteria. And Andy says, "You know, that's the beauty of music, Red. They can't get that from you. Haven't you ever felt that way about music?" Red says, "Well, I played a harmonica when I was younger, but I lost interest. It just doesn't make sense here." Andy says, "Here's where it makes the most sense. You need it so you don't forget." "Forget what?" Red says. "Forget that there are places in the world that aren't made out of stone, that there's something inside, something they can't get to, something they can't touch, something that is yours alone." "What are you talking about?" Red asks. "Hope," Andy says. "It's hope." And unless you think this is the stuff of movie making alone, in 1984, Presbyterian missionaries Ben and Carol Weir were assigned to work in Beirut, Lebanon, where Ben taught at the Near East School of Theology in the American University of Beirut. One day, walking to class, he was kidnapped by rebels, and he was held for over 16 months as a prisoner of war. After he was released, Ben and Carol returned to the United States, where he was elected to be the moderator, the highest office in our denomination. And as he shared the story of his imprisonment, he said what got him through were the hymns that he had learned as a child, singing the words over and over again to himself. He said, "They didn't just keep my body alive, they kept my faith alive. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere." The one who sings prays twice. That quote is often attributed to Saint Augustine, the 4th century North African bishop. Whether it's true that he said it first or not, I don't know. But I believe it's true. There's something about song that incorporates not only our heart and minds, but our lungs and lips in a full-bodied, holistic experience that embeds not only words, but thought and theology deep in our hearts and souls. But the gift, God's beautiful gift of song, it's not only meant to create and convey our faith, it also compels us in faith to share our faith with others. Several years ago, a church outside of Chicago recognized that their aging membership meant many people were no longer able to come to worship. Many of them were imprisoned in their homes. And so the choir decided, as a gift, that they would work out the legal paperwork of copyright permissions and the logistics of recording, and they made a CD. They recorded about a dozen tracks of hymns and well-known anthems. The organist recorded a couple of songs. The children's choir provided a couple as well, and they packaged this CD and sent it out to all of their homebound members so that not only would they be able to share the gift of music, but they would be reconnected to their God and to their family of faith. It was a way of releasing them from the imprisonment, not only of their immobility, but of their loneliness too. About the same time, a church in Savannah, Georgia, the First Presbyterian Church of downtown Savannah, Georgia, was trying to figure out how they could better reach out to the community around them, the changing landscape of a vibrant town. And as they looked within themselves, they recognized that two of their most important assets were a spectacular music ministry and vibrant missional partnerships. Sound familiar? So they, like good Presbyterians, put together a committee, of course, and they created a program called Music with a Mission. Every spring, the committee gets together and they plan for the coming year four concerts where they bring in some of the best-known local and regional artists to perform. And for each of those concerts, they pair the musicians with one of their local mission partnerships. Nonprofits like Family First, that houses families in their church who are homeless three or four times a year, or Habitat for Humanity, or Support for the Local Shelter that houses women fleeing domestic violence, or, if you can believe this, a backpack program that provides food for insecure children and their families over the weekend. Sound familiar? And for the last 5 years, they've been throwing these free concerts for the community, where people not only get to experience the beauty of God's gift of music, but also are connected to the community around them. It's been a way to draw in people that never would have darkened the door of a church. And the artists, the performers themselves, find that the gift they share of music suddenly has the value add of being part of something larger than themselves. Their director of music, Ann McNair, describes it this way. Our church program, Music with a Mission, she writes, has provided opportunities, yes, for fundraising and the awareness of the great needs in our community, supplementing the existing mission work of our church. But it's also helped us to realize that mission and worship can occur outside the confines of our traditional Sunday morning services. Our community now gathers to celebrate beauty, to be inspired by music, to work together in a combined effort to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to tend to the sick and to visit the prisoner. Members of our congregation welcome those of other faith communities of varying socioeconomic statuses and of diverse interests into our common love of God's beautiful music. Together, we celebrate music and become more aware of our community's needs, working to improve the lives of everyone. To God be the glory. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere. So now, church, the invitation is for us. What songs of faith will you carry with you today? What songs of hope embedded in your heart will carry you through even the darkest nights of your soul? What songs will we write together? What songs will we sing together that not only sustain us, but unite us, inspire us, and send us out into the world as bright reflections of God's light, filtering into every shadow and lifting every voice? What songs will we teach our youngest and newest disciples that will provide for them a solid foundation, carry them for their entire lives? And what songs will we inspire them to write as they continue to expand our repertoire of faith and for their children and children's children. Because whether we are fighting the apartheids of our time, whether we are seeking to restore broken families in our own community, to release those who are imprisoned by loneliness or depression, whether we are celebrating the signs of God's reign of grace and peace throughout the world, or welcoming one new member into the community of faith, let us be a church. Church where our song lifts praises to God. A church where our song accompanies us across every hill and valley, where our song unites us as a vibrant community of faith. Community that looks beyond our current circumstances, yet grounded in today, looks ahead to where God is calling us, leading us to sing songs of good news in a world that longs to hear God's anthem of faith and hope and love. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere. Amen.